Would you be free from your burden of sin?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you or evil a victory win?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power,
power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb,
of the Lamb.
There is power,
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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome to a very special Easter episode of Readin' Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Holy Adam B. You're with your other host, Holy Daniel T. Daniel, I just called you holy right after I called the podcast unholy, which is part of the part of my intro line. So I screwed that up, but how are you doing?
I'm feeling holy.
Once again, we're having a little bit of difficulties with the internet, so I didn't hear what you said at all. I'm assuming you responded in some way. Is our guest there? Is our guest Brady there?
I'm here. I made it. Happy Easter.
Brady.
Yay! Happy Easter, buddy.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, it's a happy Easter in the sense that I'm spending it with you boys, but
yeah,
maybe not so much of a happy Easter out in the world. Let's just say none of us have looked at the news in a week or two. So,
what if we just played this like we assume that the virus has vanished?
Yeah,
everything has returned to normal on Easter Sunday, like Christ's very resurrection and the world has restored to normalcy. It's like we're back. Amazing.
Yeah.
That was a weird few weeks. That was a weird few weeks, you know?
Right.
It was really touch and go for a while.
Get a Korean barbecue tonight.
I want to share meat in close spaces with people again. That's where I'm at. Let's go get some KBBQ.
Yeah.
Can't believe I ever doubted the Trump administration. I'm so happy for the work they did to get us to this place of 100% full recovery.
I mean, as soon as his tone changed, the country changed. Like once his tone changed, it was like problems were being solved left and right. Manna from heaven, am I right, fellas?
Yeah. I'm telling you, dude. Presidentially shouting down reporters. That's my style.
What was Easter like for you guys? Growing up.
Oh boy.
Up?
It was like the show, you know. It was like you had to get dressed up for church. I didn't usually have to do that, but that was like, all right, we're gonna look a little nicer. Mm-hmm. You're gonna see about 50 more people at church that you're just like, I forgot you went here, and it's good to see you. And the potluck was always like 15 to 20% better than regular Sundays. You know, people were like bringing their A game casseroles to like the Easter Sunday, you know?
Okay. So you had a potluck on Easter.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. It was good. It was a lot more energetic, but we were a pretty small church. So that was my sort of general impression of it.
I got spoiled on Easter in that my mom made pretty elaborate Easter baskets, and not only would they have candy in those bad boys, there'd always be like some sort of small toy item.
Mm.
But you know, at the age that I was, it could have been like a $5 toy, and that was like a huge deal, you know.
But that like, I feel like I would have been really jealous of that, because we would have done like an Easter egg hunt maybe when I was little, and if we had an Easter egg basket, it'd be like, here's some candy. I don't ever recall receiving a toy, which would have definitely stuck out in my memory. You know, like, oh my god, freaking Luke Skywalker with the green lightsaber. I've been waiting for this action figure.
I got a sweet Digimon one year. I think another year I might have gotten like a portable CD player.
Ugh.
It was crazy. But like there would be like a trail of like candy corns or something or jelly beans that led to the baskets. They'd be hidden somewhere. And then we'd go to church, and church was one of the biggest Sundays of the year.
Yeah.
But we always immediately, as soon as dad could get out of church, we would then drive to Malvern to have Easter with my godparents.
Nice. Who were the sweetest people in the world. So they were kind of like my surrogate grandparents, because my grandparents all live far away. And they would have like an amazing meal. We'd bring some food, and then we would do an Easter egg hunt. And my godparents would put quarters in all of the Easter eggs, and then it inflated with our age. So like, I was still hunting Easter eggs with my sister when I was like 16, and one of the Easter eggs would have like a $20 bill in it, and the rest would have like quarters.
Damn.
Or maybe Sacagawea dollars.
Man, that is bougie.
It was a good holiday.
That's nice.
Yeah, it really was. It was pretty dank.
But being like a preacher's kid, like Easter's like Super Bowl Sunday for the man in charge, you know? Yeah. Like that's showtime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because those extra, you know, percentage of the congregation who's never there, you're like, I'm going to get them this week. They're coming. I got them in the building. I'm not letting them go. They'll be back next Sunday.
Because so many people would show up. People even from other churches would come to Dad's like holiday services. And I was always like, just you wait until you see what a real preacher does. Like, he's going to give you a message.
Yeah.
Daniel, what about you, man?
Mine was, I had to transit when I was a young child. We weren't really going to church, so we had kind of just the pop culture Easter, where you just go to a family member's house and you run around getting eggs and stuff.
That bunny came around is what it was about.
Yeah. It's like Easter bunny. Then whenever I turned 13, it was like, oh no, now it's Jesus getting whipped. Now Jesus is being whipped and stuff. You know, it was like, this Easter really took a turn.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it is that we would, there was a stretch of time where my sister would make dresses. She would sew very, like, basic dresses. And that was it. But yeah.
How do you look in them?
You know what? Mine was always ill-fitting.
Oh, that's too bad.
The crotch was way too big. I think we had a pretty good mix of the whipping of Jesus and the Easter bunny, because the Easter baskets were from the Easter bunny, but also, you know, we did all the stuff that surrounds it. We had like a Good Friday service, you know, and Ash Wednesday, which I guess is way back. Is Lent runs through Easter, right? I've forgotten.
I think so.
I think it does.
That's a Catholic thing.
Easter is a lifting of Lent, and there were years that I always gave up something pretty significant for Lent, so I was excited to get back on whatever it was, the soda train or something.
Yeah. Have you given anything
one
up
year
this
for
year?
Lent? I gave up. Absolutely not. One year I gave up in high school, though. I gave up being full, and. Yeah, I mean, I was a very religious kid, and so I was like, you know, Jesus is out wandering in the desert. I can, you know, not be super full at the end of a meal or at any point in the day, and that was not fun. And it didn't enlighten me. Look at me now. Yeah. I'm a fucking heathen. I'm going to hell. Happy Easter.
You could also cheat at that one pretty easy. You could just be like, guys, I am not full. You know, it doesn't matter.
I am not full, yeah.
My second plate, but if I ate a third plate, I would be full, but I am right now not full.
Yeah,
that one's kind of hard to judge, I feel like. How about you, Daniel? Did you do any giving up stuff for Lent?
No, actually, until this moment, I thought that was a Catholic thing. We didn't do that. We didn't have to give up anything. We didn't do any kind of Lent, we never had to give stuff up.
Brady?
I'm sure I said I did give something up at one point, but I couldn't for the life of me recall what it might have been. Probably because I did not do it. So I feel like maybe there was a year where I was like, I didn't give something up, but I was like, I'm going to pray every day for 40 days or whatever. Who knows? But
that's pretty good.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
I did. I said the Lord's Prayer every night from the time I was like 8 years old until I was probably 16, 17.
Do you remember the night when you were like, never again, I'm done?
No, I don't. It faded out pretty good, because for a long time I would say the Lord's Prayer and then also have a very long thankful prayer on top of it. And then I think by the time I got to college, I would still do the Lord's Prayer just as like a safety measure.
Just like in case. Hedging your bets.
Well, you know, it's pretty easy to say that before I go to sleep. And any time in my life since that I've gotten in really dire straits and decided to throw up a little Hail Mary prayer, always got to open with the Lord's Prayer to, uh-oh. You're
back. All right, now you're back.
Oh, sorry, guys. I'm back. I was saying, always got to open those prayers that land in between with that Lord's Prayer. So God knows that you're serious when you're begging for help and swearing you'll believe in him again if he saves you.
He's saying my prayer. I know he means business. Yeah.
He knows what's up. I was trying to figure out what we should read today because each gospel has a different account of the Easter story. And I decided to go with the Matthew version because it's pretty succinct and it's not all that weird.
Which one is the bunny in? I'm struggling to remember. Is that Mark or Luke where the bunny
that's,
is at?
That's in the Gospel of Chad.
Okay, yeah. It's in the Gnostic
yeah, Bible. Yeah. And the bunny comes and he gnaws the nails out of Jesus' wrists. And
amazing. Yeah.
I was gonna go with the Gospel of Jerry. That was gonna be my joke.
The Gospel of Jerry?
Yeah.
Damn, Daniel, that's a good joke. Bang, both of us are really good at jokes, Daniel.
Yeah, we're hilarious. We know exactly what to add to a podcast.
We're one of the most legendary comedy duos. Our chemistry is fantastic. Yeah. Our minds are sharp.
We're gonna create the new who's on first joke, I tell you.
Well, I think the first baseman.
Damn it.
All right, well... Let me try to run through this text pretty quick. This is Matthew 28 out of the New International Version. The title here is Jesus Has Risen. So just to fill anybody in who doesn't know, Jesus has been crucified and, you know, he died. He's been put in a cave.
Not great for our guy. Not a good time to be Jesus.
Yeah.
This is Matthew 28 from the New International Version. After the Sabbath... At the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said.
And he said it just like that, too. Which is, the historical accuracy, Adam, was uncanny.
Thank Greetings. You, thank you. This is honestly my best effort. I mean, no disrespect. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Sorry, if you could see Paulette's face right now.
I got the feeling this just now that we're talking about Jesus, this all became real to me. This whole podcast is real to me now. It's like Moses and all that. Who gives a damn? But we're talking about the JC right now.
Yeah, we're talking about the man we grew up thinking about. Anyway, sorry. This is verse 10, actually. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and wait. What was it? What did? How did he say? He said greetings. Yeah.
Yeah, get back into it.
Yeah, it was John Lennon.
I'm stealing Paulette's Ringo voice is what I'm doing. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is verse 11. I have a title, The Guard's Report.
Ooh.
While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You ought to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
Hmm. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's they're believing propaganda. That's why they don't believe in Jesus.
I've never heard that part of the story.
Yeah, that's very specific, and I do not recall that at all.
Yeah,
I mean, I do like it as in it's. I mean, because Jesus was a, or like Christianity at this point in history was like a political movement almost, and they're like, nope. Can't believe that mainstream media that told you the disciples stole the body to make it look like Jesus rose from the dead.
You're going to hear a lot of different facts coming out about how that body got out of the tomb. We're here to set the record straight, okay? There was no angel, all right? Didn't just roll away.
The tomb was perfect.
Tomb was beautiful. Most perfect tomb.
I have another title here, The Great Commission. This is verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The end.
That was nice. And there's a lot to unpack with this, obviously. I want to start with what I think, to me, is the funniest bit of the story.
And I think I know where
when
you're
going. When those guards were like, okay, what just happened, and what are we going to do about this? Because that was crazy, right? Okay, well, what are we going to go say? We got to go. What are we going to tell the people? Obviously, we can't be like, yeah, angel of the Lord came down, rolled the thing away, and we just stood here like a couple of schmucks not doing anything. No, we were overpowered. There was a band of men that came in the night. Like them devising the plan to be like, all right, listen. Get it together, Ted. We got to go down there and tell them something. We can't just have this.
It can't be that we shook and became like dead men.
Yeah.
Listen, we got a warning the last time someone robbed a grave. They said no more grave robbing. If not, we lose our job. So listen, we got to come up with a good story. Of the entire resurrection story, that's what jumps out to me is basically what I'm saying.
Well, and at this point, even with Judas being gone, there's still 11 disciples, right? So, I mean, like, they can come like a gang. They're a gang of bros.
Well, is Judas the one who's dead already?
Well, he wouldn't have been in the group he's already been kicked out for getting him murdered.
Okay.
Yeah, they probably didn't welcome him back to the gang.
Yeah, I guess not. my favorite part is that the angel of the Lord came down and his, what is it, lightning and white as snow?
Yeah.
His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow.
It sounded really familiar for some reason.
Like Gandalf the White, maybe? or because Snow White.
I was thinking Gandalf, but Snow White also works.
We've been in the Old Testament for a while, so we're getting like a little different style here.
Totally.
And I like it's way more, how do I say literature like?
Yeah.
So what am I looking for?
The prose is a little bit better here.
Thank you, Brady. you can sign up for Brady's acting one class.
Yeah, just Google hosted pod at whatever their thing is. I will send you the code to my class. Those are free online acting lessons. I'm happy to do it.
Thank you, Professor Brady.
No problem.
I also like when they say and became like dead men. I like to think that's just a way to say they fainted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to use that in my daily life.
They just became like dead men.
And then, you know, they grab his feet. And worship him. That's interesting. It is cool that the angel appears to the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary.
Yeah, that was great.
That's a rough look for the other Mary. Just like, sorry, you're the other one.
Well, and isn't
the less important one?
Isn't the other Mary his mother?
Yeah. Otherwise known as the other Mary to Jesus.
Not the important Mary.
Sorry, Ma. Mary M's my number one. You're just the other Mary now. At a certain point, Mom got replaced by Mary Magdalene.
I can't confirm that from memory. That is his mother?
I can't confirm it because I generally have no knowledge, but that was always my understanding.
There was a Mary that was his mother, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary, like Mother of God.
Yeah, you can't know. You can't know that. Yeah, that this is that Mary.
I mean, we could know that by doing some very basic research, but we're not willing to do that.
Let's just all assume that what we said is some version of the truth.
Yeah,
it's what our president would do. It's what we're doing.
Yeah, what we've been taught to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
something I recall, something that I wish was in this story, you know, is Doubting Thomas putting his fingers in the skin of Jesus.
Yeah,
his fingers in Jesus'
holes. I missed
that
part.
I don't remember what gospel that's in, but I do recall at one point my dad saying, and there's stuff about it in the Bible, when Jesus shows up again, he doesn't look like a normal man, and his skin is almost different, like, almost as if it were like fish scales or something wild, mm-hmm. You know, like he looks like he's in a different form. And
like his body's been decomposing for 3 days in a tomb, you know?
Well, whatever it is, I'm sure I'm remembering it totally incorrectly, but the fish thing always stuck with me, whether that's what he said or not. So I like to imagine that the real Easter eggs would be caviar.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a...
You know, a little Jesus row.
I love... My second favorite thing was I love that there's a huge chunk in the Matthew version of this that is just dedicated to explaining why there are still Jewish people. You know? It's like, quick note, we're going to cover why there are Jewish people. It's because they heard some fake shit, okay?
Yeah, I wonder how much more of that we'll encounter once we get to the New Testament. Stay with us, folks. Daniel and I will be reading the New Testament in about 10 years by our calculation. Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So, yeah.
That's like right around the corner.
We'll be reading the New Testament from our hostel that we live in.
Well, do you guys want to rate this on a scale of 1 to 5 Easter eggs?
Sure.
I mean, it's got to be a 5. I think this is the story, you know, this is the one everybody knows. I think it's a pretty good telling. There's some nice imagery, good prose in there too. Yeah, I think it's a 5.
I agree with you, Brady. I think that, yeah, this one is funny. And I'm glad that you picked this one, Adam. I think this is I didn't realize that this version of the story was out there. I guess I knew that different books told the same story over again, but yeah, this is the one you would read to your kids. I think this is an Easter. It's fitting that we're going to give it Easter eggs, because I'd rather read this one than the picking inside the holes and then the whipping of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. This is a nice quick one to I might omit the middle part about the Jews, but yeah, I'll give it a 5-egger. This is a 5-egger.
I'm just going to continue to agree with whoever our guest is, because it makes me feel good inside, and I don't have to think about it as much. Five Easter eggs. This is a great chapter. Well, guys, it was such a pleasure to spend Easter with you.
Wait, is today Easter?
We're pretending like it is.
Oh,
Daniel.
Podcast expert.
What is today? It could be Easter, because my sense of time is completely off now. I've not been outside in a while, except for my balcony. So I'm it's Easter to me. That feels right. That sounds right. I do want to wildly speculate, as is always fun to do in these times, but this coming out on Easter, Easter's going to look probably incredibly different than any other time, right?
Like, yeah.
It is a very bad idea to be in church on this Easter Sunday, I would imagine.
Uh-huh. I think it's still going to be bad. It's about a month away from this recording, so
I don't think it's going to get a whole lot better in a month. I know you said that your dad had his own doubting Thomases last week when he told him to stay away. But what do you have a sense of what like the larger church communities are doing right now?
Well, I know that the Methodist Church as a whole in Arkansas has suspended services. Mm-hmm. I know that most churches are closed, but there are, depending on what state you're in, there are in some cases explicit like exceptions made for churches.
Right.
People value their religious freedom, but it's pretty scary because a lot of people who go to church are old and vulnerable, and there's a lot of hugging in church. And
there's a whole lot of contact.
to leave on a high note, Brady, you got something to plug?
Oh yeah, I wanna thank the thousands of you who joined my acting one class online since last week's episode. It has been just a treat to have you in an online forum.
Everything I'm watching out that's coming out right now, all these sketches that are being broadcast online, they're so much better than they were a while ago. And I think it's directly because of all those thousands of people in your acting class.
I don't want to say that in the last couple weeks that I've revolutionized teaching acting, but it wouldn't be completely wrong to say that. I have adapted with the times, obviously, which any good acting instructor does. And so, you know, I looked at the world around me and I said, well, what's going to make it better? And it's Instagram live coaching. It's Facebook live coaching. Uh-huh. And it's just, you know, we're talking about things like objective. We're talking about things like obstacle and tactics and you know, the online community and social media in general has really taken to my teaching. And I want to thank you guys for giving me the platform to, you know, put that out there, because it's been a groundswell of activity on my Google Classroom Acting 1, 10 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I appreciate that.
Brady, you're so welcome. I feel like we're all doing the best work we can during this crisis. I think we've contributed a lot. Daniel, you want to take us out of here, man?
Yeah, guys. Thanks for listening, and follow us at HostedPod on Instagram. Email us at HostedPod@gmail.com and watch all our bullshit on twitch.tv/HostedPod. And thanks for listening to this very special Easter episode.
Happy Easter!
Happy Easter!
Happy Easter! Oh, hi. All right, love you, boys. Stay safe.
Be good.